Father, we are so grateful. It's such a wonderful time in your presence. The Bible says, I was glad when they said we should go to the house of the Lord. We're glad to be here tonight. We thank you for the freedom of association, the freedom of worship, the freedom of speech to be able to come and share your word, this eternal word that does an eternal work in our lives. We enter the word with reverence, being fully conscious of the fact that the natural human mind cannot deliver or receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. Therefore, we know we need help. We ask for it humbly. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. We pray and ask the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in more than sufficient measure. Power to heal, power to deliver, power to break yokes, power to free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear, and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out a treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in their own individual life agreed with me individually and said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, this is our School of the Spirit service. We're teaching on Christian perfection using the Lord Jesus Christ as our prototype. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, didn't operate as God in his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. He operated as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. That is why you can be conformed to his image. This is a great truth that we need to grasp and let it become ingrained in our thought processes. Because Jesus is God, he's always been God, we always sometimes feel, well, everything he did, you know, he did because he was God. No, he didn't do it as God. Now, he was God, but he was stripped with permission of himself and of other two persons of the Godhead temporarily during those 33 years when he was here of his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. So when he was here, he wasn't omnipotent. When he was here, he said, I can do nothing, you know, except what I see my Father do. Said the Son can do nothing of himself. He wasn't. He wasn't omnipotent, you know. And that's why, you know, when you understand that, you can understand how you can become like him. If you think he operated as God, you think, no, that's not. That's why many Christians think it's not impossible. Because, oh, well, you know, how can we be like God? But that's exactly what Christianity is all about. Because this is make us like God. Now, we're not God. We will never be God. But we can become like God. And the degree to which become like God was expressed in the life of Jesus when he was on the earth. So we can become as much like God as Jesus was when he was on earth. In other words, let's say it in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the works that I do, you will do, and greater. You know, and don't let's water it down. Don't let's say to ourselves, that's unbelief really. When we say, oh no, that's not possible. Oh, you know, well, yes. I remember as a young Christian, somebody told me that. I said, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but of course, well, everybody knows that can never happen. We're just supposed to use it as a goal and aim towards it in this life, but we will never get there in this life. But that's not true. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in so many places that we may grow up into him in all things. In fact, if that doesn't happen, this age cannot close. Because the only set of people who will be able to break and disciple the nations and preach this gospel, not any gospel, but this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel that expresses and demonstrates what the kingdom of God is going to be like during the millennium. They're going to taste of the powers of the age to come and express it in this age. For a witness to all the nations, all the ethnos, that is all the tribes and tongues, it is that church that will culminate, that will close the age. And if you never have a set of Christians who grow into what the Bible calls the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and demonstrate this glory of God, this glory of the kingdom unto all nations, the age cannot close according to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said all things we're seeing now, rumors of wars and non-wars and signs in the heavens and in the moon and in the stars and in the sea, we're seeing all of those things. He said, but the end is not yet. He said it very, very emphatically. He said, the end is not yet. He said, but this gospel of the kingdom will preach unto all days. He said, then shall the end come. So the end cannot come until there is a church in the earth that has grown spiritually into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I can tell you, you know, the whole creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They don't know what they're waiting for, but that's what they're waiting for. And Isaiah tells us prophetically, he says that when it happens, when God prepares a feast in front of all, you know, in the presence of all the nations, and they see, they'll say, this is our God. We have waited for him. You know, that's what they're waiting for. They will see God in manifestation in you and I. Isaiah chapter 45, one of my favorite scriptures along this line, says that they will say, surely God is in thee. They will come and bow down before you. They won't worship us. Now, you must not receive that kind of worship like Cornelius. When he saw Peter, he said, and Peter picked him up and said, don't do that. I'm just a man, just like you. But they will be so awed by the glory of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, that we will manifest that they will bow. And of course, we'll pick them up and say, you don't have to do that. That's silly. You know, you yourself, everything I am, you can be. Every sinner is a potential saint. All men are made in the image and the likeness of God. And all men have the potential to manifest the glory of God just like us. So you must never accept worship from men. But, you know, the Bible tells us that it's going to happen because they will be so awed, you know, by the glory of God. And then, let's be honest, this hasn't happened yet. Amen. There's no church on the earth that this has happened with. Amen. They may be awed. They're not even awed. In some cases, they're just disgusted, you know, by the kind of things that the church does, you know, covetousness and handling of God, deceitfully, dishonesty, and all of that. But the good news is, God is preparing the people. That's why we're having these teachings and classes, so that people can learn that not only is it possible, but also the, what you might call the spiritual technology. You know, how will this thing be? Like Mary said, you know, when the angel came to her, Gabriel, and said, you're going to have a son, and he'll call the Son of the Highest, and he'll be great and all of that. He said, I'm a virgin. How's it going to be? And he said it in a very concise manner. He said, you know, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow them. The power of the Most High shall come upon you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born in you will be called the Son of God. And the same thing with us. If you look at what the Bible says, it's so staggering. You say, how in the world can these things, all these things we are talking about, man, my belief of the mind of Christ, you know, walking on water, turning water to wine, raising the dead, you know, and doing it on a consistent basis, daily, in and out, you know. Oh my God, how can these things be? The same answer. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which is inside you will be called the Son of God. It's not called the Son of God right now. It's called the Child of God now. But it will be called the Son of God. Now, what you want to do is to allow it to grow. And that's what these classes are all about. You know, the Christ is already in us, in a seed form. We're born again. But we need to let the Christ nature, this divine nature, it has to develop. So it's not only in our spirit, it goes into the mind, the will, and the emotions. It comes into the physical body, you know, and as we were talking about, Pastor Dewey was teaching about on Sunday, you know, the life of God are manifest in the flesh. It hasn't happened yet. We haven't seen any Christians in whom the life of God has made manifest in their mortal flesh in exactly the same way it was in the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say one very important thing here. You see, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. In verse 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as glory at that time of the only begotten of the Father. Now, in exactly the same way, God wants the Word to be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so that men would behold the glory of God in us exactly the way they beheld in the ministry of Jesus. And this is not what's going to happen when we get to heaven. It's here. The Bible says so in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ praying, you know what He said? He said, the glory which You have given Me, I have given them. Then He said, that the world may know. That the world may know. In other words, it's something that's going to happen when they're still in this world. Give me that John 17. Yeah, thank you. That they may be one even as we are one. Next verse, verse 23. I in them and thou, that they may be perfect in one. That's our word perfection again. That the world may know. So it's going to happen while they're in this world. It's not going to happen when they get to heaven. Hello, the world is not coming to heaven. They're here. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Because, you know, so many times in our Christian understanding, we put these things off to heaven. There's a message I'm preparing. I'll give it whenever the Lord allows me to give it. It's still along all these lines. You know, it's an experience on this side of heaven. It's not an experience we're going to get after we receive glorified bodies and we are immortalized and we're, you know, no. It's this side of heaven. This glory we're speaking about is a glory that's going to manifest here. And it's the purpose of it is that the world will know. This gospel that came will preach to all nations for a witness. Aha, then when we've done it, then we can go. Once we've done that job, then we can go. And no, when the tribulation comes, they won't say, oh, God didn't tell us. Because God would only have told us, He would have demonstrated it. So, and then if you don't believe, then that will be your own fault. Because God will not leave Himself without a witness. Amen. So, it's this growth, this progression of Christianity. Christianity is likened, our growth in Christianity is likened to the metamorphosis of the butterfly. You know, the egg stage, the caterpillar stage, the chrysalis stage, you know, and then finally the butterfly comes out. You know, and it's a great truth, because that Greek word metamorpho, where we get the English word metamorphosis from, is the same word Paul uses in Romans chapter 12, where he says, and be ye transformed. You know, don't be conformed to this, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, so we're actually supposed to undergo a spiritual transformation. We're supposed to transform means to be changed to another form. That's the word, the meaning of the word transform. See, this is my physical body now. You know, and your own is dead. The Bible says it's not dead physically, it's dead spiritually. It says the body is dead because of sin. But that body is supposed to be transformed. It's supposed to be transformed from a spiritually dead condition to a spiritually live condition where it manifests the glory of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, I was meditating on this, you know, the other day, you know, about Aaron's rod. You know, your body is like Aaron's rod. It's dead. He said, but when you put it before the ark, then it will bring forth blossoms, buds, and almonds. That body is supposed to bring forth fruit. Blossoms, almonds, you know, and all of that. It starts raising the dead. It starts doing all kinds of wonderful things. Amen. The Apostle Paul saw this by revelation. You know, he said that I may know Him. Now, how many people knew God? Who knew that? How many people here know that Paul knew God? I mean, Paul had revelation. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But there was just something ahead. See, one of the biggest disservices we can do to ourselves in our Christianity is to be satisfied with the mediocre. You know, most Christians are, well, you know, the goal of Christianity is just to go to heaven as long as we make heaven. So we lower the standard. You say, well, you know, so as you know God, I go to heaven. No. This is somebody who had written 2/3 of the New Testament, who had revelation knowledge, you know, and he said that I may know him. In other words, there's still a knowledge of God that is ahead of me. The power of his resurrection, being made conformable, that if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He was not talking about the resurrection of the glorification of the human body. He was talking about this transformation of the physical body. The Amplified Bible says, you know, to transform, if you put it, let me see the Amplified. Yes. So I'm a resurrection. No, the Amplified. So I'm eternal of the resurrection of the dead. No, Philippians 3:11. 11. Good. You know, so I have attained unto the resurrection. No. Where do you get this Amplified translation from? This is not the real one. No. Be careful of these new translations. He says, while still in the body. Where do you get this one from? God have mercy. Is this the Amplified Bible? It's not. This is not the Amplified Bible I have in my own Bible. Thank God for having the original Bible. We're having all kinds of... I've been told about this, you know. Some of these crazy translations are... You know, they're doing all kinds of things and taking away from what the Bible actually says. Hallelujah. Yes. That if possible... This is what my own Amplified says. That if possible, I may attain unto the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. That's the correct translation. Where did they get this from? Are you sure this is a true Amplified Bible? Please don't use these ones. Use the real one. Praise the Lord. Don't take away from the Word of God. So this is what Paul was talking about. See, that I may. So he's next verse after this, he says, not as though I had already attained. He said, not as though I have already attained. He said, but I press toward the mark for the prize. So even at that advanced stage of Paul's spiritual development, he still realized that there was an experience in front of him. That is what the end time church is going to get. I heard two amens. One from Mommy and one from Pastor Buega. All the other ones, you know, this unbelief is not good. I said that is what the end time church has to get. Stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. Are you listening to me? This is it. You know, we have to get to that point where our physical bodies are transformed. They're not. It's not resurrection. It's not a resurrection of the body. It's a transformation. And you know, the difference between Jesus' body and your body is this. Jesus was born of a virgin. So his body didn't have the sin nature. When you're born of your mother, you're born in sin and shape and iniquity. But thank God you get born again. So what the whole essence now is, okay, the divine nature is now your spirit. So now use the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, life scriptures, praying, groaning, travail, and all these things. Now use it to pump the life of God into your physical body so that the sin nature goes out. So your body will now become like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was still a natural body. That's why Jesus' body, you know, the woman with the issue of blood could touch him and get healed instantly without prayer. No prayer. No binding the devil. Hello? Just pure life. Pure power. Now, how many want that kind of body? I do. And by the grace and the mercy of God, I'm going to get it. And manifest it in this life. Oh, that would be a day, Pastor G. Mommy, that would be a day. You know what it's going to do? It's going to shut the mouth of every skeptic. I was sharing with some of the brethren last night. You know, the reason why men are talking now, you know, talking philosophy, talking argument. Scientists are saying, oh, you know, this and that. There's no God, evolution, and all of that. It's because the church isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. When the glory of God begins to manifest through us, it will stop all arguments. The Bible says that every mouth may be stopped. It will stop all arguments. I like what Derek Prince said many years ago. He said, a man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but by demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Nothing, there is no argument against a life that is coming out of a physical body that raises the dead. There is no philosophy against that. There is no argument against that. Yay! No religion. They will be flocking to the church. I was sharing with the brethren yesterday, you know, look at what happened in Ephesus. That it gives us a prototype of what God wants to happen in every city in the earth in this end time. The Bible says, and God did special miracles. Use the word special. Like I said last week, you know, special in Paul's ministry is normal in Jesus' ministry. It was special for Paul, but in Jesus' time it was normal. He said he did special that from his body, aprons and handkerchiefs were taken, and people got healed, and the evil spirits left them. He said, and the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. He said, so that all the people who are doing black magic and curious arts, he said, they brought all their books and they burned them in the city of Ephesus. Now, imagine that happening in Ibadan, Lagos, London, Tokyo, Moscow, Beijing, Kasselemengrada Frenengara, Paris. Then the kingdom has come. That's, we must not do anything less than that. And it's this glory that's going to do it. We will so manifest the glory of God that the evil people will come out. They will come and join us and burn their books and say, surely God is indeed. It's because all the one we're talking to now is just grammar. We're all talking a lot of theory and, you know, saying this and saying that. And then they see us begging for money on television. They all shake their heads. These ones are not serious. It's the truth. It's the truth. But when we have a company of people that will demonstrate the glory of God, the world will come and say, surely God is indeed. You won't need advertisements on television and everything. People will rush you to the church. They will be rushing. I've said it before and I'm going to keep saying it. The hour is coming and now is when if you come to church by 5 minutes past 8, you have no place to sit. People will be coming to church from Lagos. I'm talking about this church. They'll be coming from Abeokuta. They'll be coming from, you know, they'll be coming from Oyo. They'll be coming from, so people who live in Ibadan don't come to church late. The people who come from outside will be here before you. There'll be no space. You know, the only thing that is missing now is the glory of God. When men see the glory of God, they will rush. It says, and the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all hills. You know, and it says, all nations shall what? Flow into it. And it is not you who will say, it is they who will say. They will say, let us go. They will say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us. They won't be coming for miracles, though. They'll be coming for teaching. Because miracles will be happening on the road. Miracles will be everywhere. I've said it before and I'm going to keep saying it. The hour is coming and now is where the glory of God and the miracles, spectacular miracles, will be as common as tongues. Tongues is common now. It didn't used to be common. Not everybody speaks in tongues, as common as it is. But it's common now that it's not a big thing to people anymore like it was 40, 50 years ago. They are speaking tongues, everybody look at you as if you are mad. But now if you go anywhere, you're speaking, even people don't speak, everybody just keep quiet. They know it's God. Miracles are coming like that. They'll be as common as tongues. So people won't be coming to church because of miracles, because you can get it in your neighborhood. You can get it a little boy down the road. Amen. You will come to church because you want to come and learn how to grow in God. He will teach us of His ways. They won't be coming for the acts. They'll be coming for the ways. Glory be to God. Hallelujah! Luke chapter 20. Amen. God was speaking to me overnight and He was encouraging me. You know, He said, it is as sure as the morning. It's not like, you know, someone wonder, God, when will this thing happen? You know, when will this thing happen? You know what God said? He said, to encourage us. In Galatians chapter 3, He says that if you be Christ's, then are you heirs. If you be Christ, you know, then are you heirs of the promise. Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Then you link that with Hebrews chapter 6. He said, that He might show unto the heirs. Who are the heirs? Those who are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, you and I. The immutability of His counsel. He confirmed it with an oath. God had to do that. You know why? Because what God promised was so wonderful that an ordinary promise will not convince you. So God said, I have promised, but to just so you can be sure it's actually going to happen, I confirm it with an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, you and I will have strong consolation or encouragement to lay hold on this hope that is set before. What is the hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's going to happen. The question is, will you be a part of it? Whether it's going to happen or not, it's not the issue. The issue is, will you be a part of it? That's why you are in this class. That's why you're coming for these meetings. So that you will not be, you know, you just won't be seen. You will also be a part of it. You know, in the day of Jesus and in the day of Paul, not everybody was a part of it. Everybody saw it, but not everybody was a part of it. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. You will be a part of it in Jesus' name. So open your ears and listen. Luke chapter 20, verse 1. In our last lesson, we stopped in chapter 19, where He chased all the people out of the temple. And then He warned them and said, if you fall on the stone, you'll be broken. You'll break your pride. If you reject the stone, which is this revelation of perfection, that's the contextual meaning today. In Jesus' day, it was accepting Christ that He was the Messiah when He came. Today, the stone is a symbolic of revelation. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. It is the revelation of the perfection of Christ. If you fall on that revelation today, it will break your pride and cause you to grow. If you reject it, it will crush you to powder. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But that's the warning. A warning is not a curse. A warning is a warning so that it will not happen to you. Now, chapter 20, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, I didn't hear you, that on one of those days, as He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus taught and preached. If you look at Jesus' ministry, you find that 90% of it was teaching. Teaching and preaching and then healing. And you know, note if you observe something, you know, I'm just preaching as the Holy Spirit has given it to me. You notice that most of the time, go and study the scriptures very well, you find that Jesus wouldn't heal at first. He would first of all teach and preach. It's later on He will do the healing. Because, you know, if you do the healing first, they won't wait for the preaching. They will just go away. And you, to get the faith, to get the healing, you have to first of all hear the word. So it is the word that brings faith. And then with the faith, you can now tap into the Spirit without measure and get the healing. That's why at Nazareth, He could do no mighty work because there was no faith. And taught the people in the temple and preach the gospel, the chief priests, these bad boys, and they're still around today. Today their name is not chief priest, today their name is bishop, archbishop, and so on and so forth. And the scribes came upon him with the elders. Look at that. What a bunch. Chief priests, scribes, and elders. Bunch of bad boys. They're still around today. Still around. And spake unto him. Oh yeah, we looked at this in our last lesson. So today we don't start from verse, we start from verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. Now you have to understand, this is the last week of Jesus' life. He knows he's going to die. So he comes to Jerusalem because he knows that the prophet cannot perish outside Jerusalem. He understands his prophetic destiny. So he comes to Jerusalem and they have this great reception for him. They sing Hosanna in the highest and all of that. We saw all of that. So he would never sleep in Jerusalem because they were trying to kill him. And he had that inside information. So throughout that week, they were looking for ways to get him, to kill him. Especially because he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And brother, the guys were all rattled because of, man, if this guy keeps doing this, he's going to remove, you know, the Romans will come and take away our place. So they kept looking for ways of killing him. They said they sought to lay hands on him. I didn't hear you. And they feared the people, for they perceived he had spoke this parable against them. That's the parable we saw last week, you know. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words. Boy. So that they might deliver him unto the power and the authority of the governor. Let me finish this. There's a thought in my heart, you know. But I'll just mention it, you know, and I'll keep, because if I, sometimes I'll, because it's not me. When it comes like that, if I don't say it, you know, I may not be able to pick it again. You know, here we understand the vital importance of not speaking against authority. Civil authority. They couldn't kill Jesus directly, but they wanted Pilate and the Roman authority to kill him. So they were now looking for a legal, they were looking for something that they could use to legitimately deliver him to Pilate for execution. Now, this is a very, very important lesson. A lot of Christians are getting killed today, you know, and down through contemporary history, because, you know, the Bible says, you know, the powers that be are ordained of God. He says, and he bears not the sword in vain. You go against the power, they'll kill you. Keep your mouth shut. Obey the law of the land. Even if you have something to say, say it according to the word of God in a way that is not personal. That's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist went personal. You could have just preached against adultery. You see, if I come here and preach against adultery, nobody can come and tell me that I did this against this person. If you're an adulterer and it hits your heart, then you know that you need to repent of it. Amen. But if I come here and ask and go and get the name of one senator or one governor or something who is actually committing adultery, now I come on my pulpit and I start insulting the man and saying this and he did this and that. God didn't ask me to do that. Very interesting. Jesus knew that Herod was committing adultery. Jesus didn't preach against Herod. He preached against adultery, but not against Herod. You have to preach without personalities. Preach principles. So you don't get yourself killed before time. And they might take hold of his word so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. Next verse, please. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly,
hmm.
and neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly.
Hmm.
No. They were massaging his ego. Be very careful. Men will come to you and they will say things that will, you know, but they want to trap you. That's why we need to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. You need to see through those things. You know, Jesus saw through it immediately. Next verse. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? Next verse. But he perceived. Don't your neighbor say you have to be perceptive. You have to have revelation. But he perceived. Even if they come and their words are sweet as butter. Oh, Master, we know you are a great teacher of God. We know you are a great man. And you don't care for anybody. You can preach the gospel to anybody. Should we give to Caesar or should we not give? It was a trap. And if Jesus was somebody who was egoistic, he would have fallen into it. No. Let me just say one or two extra things here. You have to understand the political climate at that time. The Romans were were an invading army. They had conquered Palestine and the land of the Jews, and the Jews were paying tribute to them. You know, just like we were with England. England was our colonial master before we got our independence in 1960 here in Nigeria. So British forces, the British government was in charge of the whole of Nigeria. We were under subjection to the crown, to the English crown. And those who do anything against England, they'll hang you. Oh yes. Now, in exactly the same way, and so they were supposed to be paying tribute to Caesar. Now, most of the Jews did, but we grumbling. Everybody, don't mind these silly Romans. Anyway, let's quickly pay them before they come to your house and come and arrest you and destroy you. So the rumbling amongst the contemporary Jews at that time was to try and find a way of rebelling against Rome. And it was popular. It was, they hid it, you know, they did it, you know, subterranely. But it was very popular in those days. You know, everybody, these Romans are terrible people and everything. So they wanted to incite Jesus to play to the gallery. To say what everybody would want him to say. Should we give tribute to Caesar or no? I want to find out whether you're a two Jewish patriot, or whether you know you're submissive to the Roman government. And so he perceived their craftiness. I didn't hear you. And said unto them, why tempt ye me? Oh, I love this. One of my favorite portions of scripture. Then look at the wisdom of God. Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? And they answered, Caesar's. Next verse. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's. But he didn't stop there. Because I'm not on Caesar's side, you know. I'm on God's side. And unto God the thing which are God's. What's he saying? Pay Caesar his taxes. But if you guys follow your God and you honor your God, that God will deliver you from Caesar. So, what will we say in Nigeria today? Give Abuja that which is Abuja's. Let's say it nicely. We're non-partisan. Give Abuja, the government is in Abuja. Give to Abuja what belongs to Abuja. But give to God what belongs to God. And you know what? God will take care of Abuja. For God rules in the affairs of men. You're not going to overcome the Roman government by taking sword and this thing and going to Pilate's house and going to fight him. The Roman soldiers will finish you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The way we're going to correct Nigeria is not by rebelling and fighting against the government and saying nasty things about them on the air. No! We're going to have to do it spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I speak a prophetic word. The hour is coming and now is where government will come to the church to seek for counsel. Trembling. It's because the church is not manifesting the glory of God. It's because as the glory of God begins to make manifest in the church, they will call to ask for counsel. And if they are not godly, you'll be able to speak to them like Elisha spoke to Ahab. He said, "Were it not for Jehoshaphat," he said, "I would not see thee nor hear thee." Came to Elisha and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. It has to come back. So it is what we say in the house of God that will now become law in Abuja. By the force of spiritual arms. To the ministry of angels. Look at Esther and Mordecai. By the force of spiritual arms. The king said, write what you like. Just write the decree. Anything you want, you people just say it. It becomes law. And he put his ring and signet ring on it. That's where we're going. Not start fighting them and debating and, you know, misbehaving all over the whole place. What can only be done by spiritual power cannot be done by the arm of the flesh. Try by the arm of the flesh, you'll get destroyed. For they bear not the sword in vain. I don't know if I got across to anybody. Next verse 26. And they could not take hold, I like this, of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer. And what? On the short people's mouth, talk with the wisdom of God. It says, and they held their peace. You know what, honey? At this particular point in time, these people should have known that this is God talking. This is God. Don't let's go against this man anymore. You know, but you know something about unbelief and stubbornness and disobedience, it blinds you. By the time you hear somebody talk like that, you should have known, this is God talking. Next verse. So those ones went. Another group came. These are the guys with the wrong doctrine. You see, the chief priests, the scribes, you know, and the priests, they had right doctrine. They believed in the word of God. These ones, you know, were guys who were off, completely off. The Sadducees. He says, then came to him certain of the Sadducees. You see, the Sadducees are not the same as the Pharisees. A different sect. The Sadducees were, don't let me mention any names today, you know, but there were people who, their doctrine was not correct. They didn't believe in what the Bible said. They didn't believe in what the Word God said, you know. We deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, oh God, silly kid, say, Master, Moses wrote unto us that if a man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother.
Next verse.
They were therefore seven brethren. This is a figment of their imagination. And the first took a wife and died without children. The second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For the seven had had her to wife. They thought they had a beautiful argument. That is the foolishness that happens when you don't know the word of God. Stupid thinking. Thinking that is totally inaccurate because you don't know the Bible. And you don't know the word of God. You know, I'm a scientist. You know, I listen to scientists talk and all that. And you find intelligent men making stupid arguments. Because you don't know God. Because you don't know God. They thought they had a perfect argument. A lot of errors here. Number one error is that they did not understand what the resurrection was. They didn't even believe in it. And they were thinking, they were thinking carnally. The Bible says in one scripture, it's somewhere in Colossians, where it says, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, intruding into things that he has not seen. There are a lot of people like that today. They're trying to reason spiritual things using natural knowledge. And you see, you cannot understand spiritual things using natural knowledge because the spiritual realm is far above the natural realm. And when you take an argument and you base it only on the natural, and then you want to now make conclusions about the spiritual, automatically you will err. And that's what happened to these guys. So, they think they marry in heaven like they marry here. So they said, oh, they had. He said, okay, whose wife will she be in heaven? You know, it reminds me of some religions that talk about, you know, the reward of somebody is going to be having 1,000 women when they get to heaven. The important, the amazing question about that is that, what is the reward of the women? if the women are supposed to be given to the men, you know, if the man's reward in Hadijana, wherever they come, if he's to have 1,000 women, then what the poor women, what's their own reward? Just think a little bit and you puncture the error in all of those things. The same kind of question here. So what did the Lord Jesus say? Next verse. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Next verse. But they which shall be accounted worthy. I maybe want to be accounted worthy here. It means not everybody is going to get it. Is those that are counted worthy. Where did we hear that scripture again? Watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things. So it's not everybody who's going to escape. It's not everybody who's going to be accounted worthy. So the resurrection, the order and the glory of your resurrection is going to be determined by the quality of your Christian life. That's why the Bible says, one star will differ from another star in glory. We're not going to be the same. Now, we could all be the same. There's provision for that. But choices people make will not determine, you know, where they will be. The glory of your resurrection. Paul said, you think I'm mad? You think it's only Barnabas and I don't have right to lead about a sister? He said, why will I fight? I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus. If there is no resurrection, he said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If this Christianity is just, you know, live and go to heaven, why am I fasting? Why am I praying? Why am I living a holy life? Why am I going through all of that if when we get to heaven, everyone's just going to be the same. No! That you may be accounted worthy. There are levels. He said that we may obtain a better resurrection. It means there are levels of resurrection. And the resurrection from the dead. But they, let's say it again, but they which shall be accounted worthy. It's a worthy thing to make the goal of your life. You know, people are making the goal of their life to do this and do that. Make the goal of your life to get the very best resurrection that there is, because that one is for eternity. And to obtain the resurrection from the dead, neither marry, I didn't hear you folks, nor are given in marriage. Next verse. Verse 36. Neither can they die anymore. I didn't hear you folks. Turn to your neighbor and say, who's talking? Say, the Lord Jesus. Say, I think he should know. Hello? I think he should know. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he should know. So, we're hearing it from the horse's mouth. They neither die anymore. So, when you get that resurrection, but you're not going to die anymore. Give the Lord a clap offering for that. Wow! For they are equal unto the angels of God, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Another message for another day. Next verse. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is one of the greatest revelation statements I've seen inside the Bible. How can only Jesus could have done it? Talk about hidden manna. He preached resurrection from the burning bush. Go to the story of the burning bush. There's no resurrection there. The word resurrection is not in that story. Jesus took the simple experience of Moses at the burning bush to preach the resurrection. From a simple logical statement. He said, now that the dead are raised, even Moses, in other words, that story about the burning bush and the story of Moses' interaction with God contains the fact of the resurrection. But if you're looking at it on the surface, you won't see it. Like I was explaining the other day, it's a zip file. So what Jesus did, he unzipped it. Go, Suleiman, give the Lord a clap offering. A zip file. He said, he called it the Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Next verse. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. In other words, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac are alive. Give the Lord a clap offering. Oh, I know they're dead physically. We're sharing with somebody today, when some of our friends say, you know, who somebody had just passed away, who said, he's dead, but he's not dead. He just shifted location. If I travel now and I go to England or I go to America, you know, I won't be here in church. You won't see me. Am I dead? I'm not dead. I'm just in another place. But I'm so far away you can't see me. You can't hear me. You can't touch me. Thank God for technology. Thank God for mobile phone. Thank God for, you know, WhatsApp and FaceTime. You know, thank God for all of that technology. But, you know, in the olden days, you won't see me. It doesn't mean I'm dead. It just means I'm no longer physically in contact with you. That's exactly what happens when people die. They're not dead in the sense of they are unconscious or they are floating somewhere. No. They just move to another planet. Like you and I move to another country. Like you, maybe you move to Russia or to Canada. Amen? When people die, they just shift out. They move to heaven. Give the Lord a clap offering. They just move to heaven. That's all. Amen. Their address just changed. You know, and you can't see them anymore like you used to see them when they were here. You can't talk to them anymore like you used to talk to them when they were here. The physical body, you know, is just the clothing they used to wear. They just changed clothes. They just took this cloth off and put it down. Then the real man, the spirit, went to heaven. And he's going to stay there until the resurrection. And when the resurrection comes, he comes back. They repair that body, put in a glorified form, and he puts it back on. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's really that simple. You know, one of the things, you know, I thank God, I didn't even know that, you know, I was going to preach on all this tonight. Of course, I prepared, but, you know, what I mean is I didn't remember that this was going to talk about, but I spoke about this last time too. You know, one thing this present day church doesn't talk about much, and you don't hear much preaching about, is heaven. And we need to. Not because, no, we're not going to die. No, but so that we become heavenly minded. We're so carnal. We're so earthly minded. All the preaching you hear is about how God is going to do this for you here on earth, and how God is going to heal you, and how God. And there's nothing wrong in all of those things. But you know, our conversation is in heaven. He said, "Mind not earthly." Give it to me. It's in Colossians. Quickly, we're going to jump back to this in a minute. Colossians chapter 3, I think it is. Colossians chapter 3, I think verse 1, 2, 3, somewhere there. Colossians. Thank you. If you then, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you and I. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are on the earth. Seek a new car. Hello? Seek a new wife. Hello? Don't let me go there this evening. Amen? Are you listening to me? No, no, no. If you listen to our preaching today, you would think that that's what the man said. He said, you know, what are we seeking? Seek a new contract in Abuja. Hello? Now, is it wrong to seek those things? No. But you should seek the things above first. Seek ye first the kingdom. Then all these other things, they'll just be added unto you. And you know why? You know what? You will no longer put value on them. You will put more value on the heavenly things. So that the things of this life, you will use them when God makes them available, but they will not hold a touch on your heart. And they will not make you deny the truth. You know, people will deny the heavenly to get the earthly. God have mercy! It's a total wrong mindset that has been brought about by this wrong Babylonic teaching, you know, that is need-oriented, man-centered, and entertainment-based. Whereas it's supposed to be, you know, Christ-centered, it's supposed to be kingdom-oriented, it's supposed to be anointing-based. If you then, who's talking to me, be risen with Christ. How many people are risen with Christ here? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. What am I should be seeking? Are you be seeking at those things that are at the right hand of God? What is at the right hand of God? I'm going to give it to you in a one simple word. Power. Do you know what it means to be at God's right hand? I'm sitting at God's... I'm still here on the earth, I know. But positionally, in Christ, I'm sitting at God's right hand. He said, seek the things which are there. I will now take that heavenly power and then rule on earth. That's what I should be seeking. That's what we're talking about now, manifestation of the sons of God. That's the glory. That's what we're seeking. All this teaching and preaching, that's what we're doing. We're seeking the things that are above. Other people are seeking for bicycle, they're seeking for car, they're seeking for house, they're seeking for this. And if once you have power at the right hand of God, then you will get the house, then you will get the car, and then you will get all the other things. Don't put the thing upside down. Am I talking to anybody here? Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Next verse. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Hey! Thank you, honey, for only mommy said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just about to send out a litmus test.
Don't put up your hand, though, because if you put up your hand, we're going to pray for many sinners tonight. But I'm just going to send it out, you know, so we'll all go home and go and check our heart. I want you to be honest, totally honest. Do you understand? What are your affections set on? Are they on things above or are they on things on the earth? Don't answer me. Answer yourself in your heart. Be honest. What is your affection? What is it? Let me say it in Yoruba. You know, there are some things you say in English, it doesn't say. Let me see, because I, you know, my Yoruba is not very, very, it's not perfect. But you know, sometimes by the Holy Spirit, I just get the right. I've got it in this time. Kilo je lokon. I just got it. Abimo get it.
I got it.
Perfect. You know, it's the Holy Ghost, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It's true. The Holy Spirit says, tell them, say, kilo je lokon. In our language, that means, what is eating your heart? What is the thing that your heart really desires? What is your affection set on? 90% of Christians, we fail this. Their affection is not set on heaven. It's set on the earth. That's why, try it. We've tried it in this church, you know, and we've seen the results, and God has had mercy on us. Have a seminar on the fruit of the Spirit. Just say, Convention 2019, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy. See if anybody will come. Then set another one. 7 steps to success. How to get a wife in 3 weeks. Hallelujah. Amen. The place will be full. It shows you where the affections are set. And they don't realize that if you set your affections on the things that are above, then you can get the wife in 3 weeks. And the wife will be custom made from heaven. You see, it's not that God doesn't want you to have the wife, or he doesn't want you to have the car, or he doesn't want you to have... He's trying to tell you that you're putting your priorities wrong. If you set your affections on heaven, everything on earth belongs to you. It's in the Bible. You see, all things are yours. All things are yours. Whether they be Paul or Apollos, you know, all things are yours. You see, but the way you're going to get them is by setting your affection on heaven, because it is heaven. It's from the book of Daniel. The heavens do rule. They rule over everything on earth. So if you really want the things on the earth, why don't you set your mind on the things of heaven? Then from heaven you now rule over the things that are on the earth. May God have mercy on us. Set your affection on things above. God is not a bad God. When he's telling you to do something, it's for your benefit. He's telling you the real way to get these earthly things. And then they will not disturb you. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Don't let that be your priority. Don't let that be the thing that is important in your heart. Next verse. We're going to get back to Matthew in a minute. Or Luke in a minute. For you are dead with Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Next verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with me. This is another scripture on the glory of God. Amen. When he appears in us, it's going to appear in glory. Next verse. Aha. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. This is what is on the minds of the carnal mind. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Next verse. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. God said, don't put your mind, don't be like the world. You know, that thinking of this and thinking of that and thinking of this and thinking of that. Say, put your mind on things that are above. Then from heaven you will rule. Let's go back to Luke. Oh man, this stuff is good. Hallelujah. Verse 38 now. 38. For he's not the God of dead but of the living. Verse 39. Then certain of the scribes answered and said, Master, you have well said. Let me just say this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead.
but they were in heaven with God. They were dead physically, but they have moved location. They just changed planets. Do you hear me? They just changed. They just flew out of here. How many people know that when you die, you fly? People haven't read their Bible to that level. When you die, you fly. They're looking at me. Psalm 90. He says, it is soon cut off and we what? Fly away. When you die, you fly. Oh my God. See how they are looking at me. Turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor is not saying you are going to die tomorrow. You won't die. I mean, you're very cool. And Baba is like, well, I'm not saying you. When the time comes, and you die physically, you can die two ways. You can die before Jesus comes, or you can die the day Jesus comes. It's the same thing. In both cases, you fly. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering. What do we call the rapture? First flight. You fly. This is reality. Look at what he said. Look, go back to Psalm 90. I'm going to come back here in a minute and close. No. We need to pray for these guys upstairs. I'm going to ask one of the pastors to go upstairs and lay hands. The days of our years are 80 years, blah, 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 blah. For it is soon cut off, and we what? Fly away. That's literally all this one that, you know, people, the purgatory is all lies. Once the physical body dies, the human spirit takes off the body and flies out of here at faster than the speed of light. Faster than the speed of light. Because spiritual things operate higher than the speed of light. A fly away, and in microseconds they're in heaven. It doesn't take any time for the human spirit moving above the speed of life to traverse this entire universe. You know, because everything we can see, all our galaxies and stars and solar system, is only first heaven. Then there is another heaven on top of that one that's called the second heaven. That's where the devil is. Then on top of that, there's another heaven that's called the third heaven. That's where God is, and that's where your house is. That's where you're a citizen of. So when you take off the physical body, that's a nicer way of saying it than saying dying. It's the same thing anyway, but you know, it sounds nicer that way. Praise the Lord. Which is literally what happens. Exactly. To be honest, the word is praising with the Lord. Exactly. I like that, Pastor Ibrahim. To be absent from the word is praising with the Lord. It means it's instant. Of course, it's not instant. It's just that the speed is so fast. It's just like instant. And you're in heaven. Hallelujah. And you know what? You're not floating. It's you. Got fingers, arm, legs, belly, head, everything. It's just as a spirit is not flesh. This body is only the clothing of the spirit. This shirt I'm wearing is in the shape of my body. The trousers are in the shape of my legs. But the trouser is not me. When I get on the list, I'm going to change it, maybe wear my pajamas or something, wear something else. So when I take it off, the trouser will just fall to the bed. If you call it, it won't answer you. You know why? The trouser is not the man. The man is the one wearing the trouser. The body is not the man. The spirit is the man. It is the man that is wearing the body. I don't know if it's clear. When you understand this thing, you stop being afraid of death. Of course, that doesn't mean you should go and die. Because you don't die prematurely. But what I'm saying is that death is not, there is no mystery in death in Christ. Because Jesus has conquered death. Glory be to God. So when we die, we just change location. We take the body off and we fly in a split second and we're in heaven. Amen? And you know, if you've done well, there's a great reception for you. The Bible says a great entrance. Oh, shalem ben gras. May God help this generation. A great entrance will be ministered unto you into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some people will come to Ibadan, nobody will know. But some people will come to Ibadan. There will be people at the expressway waiting. There will be a to go and receive him. Amen. If somebody like, you know, if somebody like the President of America or some great political figure comes to a city like Ibadan, for instance. Okay, let me use a historical example that actually happened. When Queen Elizabeth, she was still a kid then. You know, when I say kid, I mean she was a young lady. She had just become queen. Her father died in 1947 or something like that. She was 25, 26. And then she came to Nigeria in 1952, something like that. You know, in the 50s, 56, I can't remember exactly. You know, children were lining the streets with flags. You know, this young lady, you know, she was inside a car in Lagos. People were, you know, people came to the airport. Everybody was doing like this because a queen, the Queen of England, had come to visit her colony. When a king in Christ Jesus, when he comes home to heaven, there will be a reception. Angels will line the streets, hallelujah, to welcome his majesty. Give the Lord a clap offering. If that doesn't motivate you, I don't know what will. This is reality. This is not religion. That's what happens. When people, you know, someone was talking about somebody today that, you know, when the person died, and when he got to heaven, he said, Jesus will stand up. You know everybody Jesus stands up for? When Stephen died, Jesus stood up. Here's a saint. Worthy of, accounted worthy. Amen? There's some saints, when they come to heaven, angels will line up. God will tell everybody, an important ambassador is returning home today. Prepare him a reception ceremony. The choice is yours. How are you living? We should stop thinking that this everything ends here. It doesn't do. Far from it. Are you listening to me? That's why Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he said, dead. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. They are living. It's just that they're living in another place. They're living in another planet. I don't know if you said it in this. Let's go back to Luke. I have to close. I don't know about you, but that preached me happy. Amen. Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Say they said it. I said, Master, that as well said. Verse 40. And after that, they do. Ask him no question at all. Now let me stop there for tonight. But there's something he didn't say here, but I said it in Matthew and some of the other something. He said, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. So he didn't just say, he said, you greatly Give me that scripture. It's not, I don't think it was recorded by Luke, but I think it was recorded, yes, in Mark. Okay, next verse. Yes. Yes. He said he's not, he said, you, no, I think it's in Matthew where he says, you know neither the scripture nor the power of God. Matthew 22:29. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. It's very important, and I'm going to close on this. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Right. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do Why? Two things. You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. There are two things you need to do to have in order to get the truth. The letter of the word and the spirit who wrote the word. I'm going to say it again. The letter, the written scripture, but the written scripture alone will not make you not err. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can have the written scripture and get the letter and miss the spirit. And that's why he gave the two things. He gave the word and the spirit. You have to have both of them so that you can have correct revelation, correct understanding, so you will not err. The reason why these Sadducees erred was because they rejected the scripture. Observe. They took a part of the scripture. Here, you see, the truth, to get truth, you have to, it says, all scripture, the whole counsel of God. One of the most dangerous things you can do as a Christian is to cherry pick the scriptures. The word cherry pick means you take the one you like, then you leave the one you don't like. Then you will get a distorted picture of what God is saying. In fact, you will not be hearing from God, you'll be hearing from the devil. What happened here was this. Observe. These people, they took part of the scripture. Moses said. It's from the Bible. If a man dies and his wife doesn't have any children, that the brother should take her, that's scripture. Do you understand? So they took a part of the scripture that was correct. The fact that, yes, if a man dies, you know, like for example, Boaz married Ruth because Ruth's husband was dead and he was to raise up seed in the name of Ruth's husband and her father-in-law who was also dead. That was the basis on which Boaz married Ruth. What he was saying was not unscriptural. Moses did say so, that if a person dies and his wife he doesn't have any children, then the brother should take the wife so as to raise seed, you know, so that the name, that line, their genealogy will not be wiped out. So what they said was true to that degree. But the part that they left out and did not believe and did not accept, they were trying to use that argument to prove that there was no resurrection. Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? You do greatly err. For you know not the scriptures and the power of God. You don't understand the resurrection, they don't marry. So the question of whose wife shall she be does not even come up. I got to close. We have the same problem today. Many Christians, sadly, cherry pick the scriptures. They take this I like prosperity. And they look around. I don't like fasting. The Bible says, you know, we'll have good success. I like that one. So I take good success. Hello? And the Bible says, yes, you will have what you say. I like that one. Let me take that one. And the Bible says, you know, you don't know what we should pray for, as we help our spirits, helps our infirmities, and, you know, makes a decision with groaning. I don't like groaning. Leave that one. Through much tribulation, my God has said, I like that one. I like that one. We're laughing, but that's what's happening. So when you are listening to them, you are listening, you're not listening to the true word of God. The hidden things of dishonesty, handling the word of God deceitfully. So he takes Philippians 4:19 that he likes. He takes speaking God's word, confession, and just, you know, that's why you find a lot of places you find declaration. Just speak the word. Say it in faith. Claim it. Just declare.
For the Bible says, you declare the end from the beginning. God calls the things which are not as though they are. So, you now, the anointing is on me now. Praise the Lord. Boy, let me give offering. Praise the Lord. Before I finish. Amen. If the Bible says seed time and harvest time will never cease from the earth. So what you're going to do now is that all of you here, if you can just bring me tonight one woman. It must not be less than 10,000. And just say it with your mouth. Just say it with your mouth. Or you claim a 100-fold return, and in 3 weeks, if you say it, it's going to happen. What he has done is he's taken portions from the Word of God, which are true. He's twisted them in covetousness to get money out of you. And so the Bible says you will have good success. So I'm going to preach a seminar, 7 Steps to Success. It's Bible. God wants us to have good success. But the groaning, the fasting, lie scripture. Don't like those words. What's going to happen? He's going to err. Just like these guys. Because he does not know the scriptures. And he does not know the power of God. The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit that brings enlightenment to scripture. The truth about the matter is that it's a whole system that works together. You can't take any one of it. It's like trying to drive a car with the ignition only. The ignition is very important. That's what starts the engine. But it's not the ignition that moves the car. The ignition just applies an electrical current into the engine where the petrol is and sparks it and gets the piston start working. You need the whole system. You need the pistons working. You need the ignition. You need the battery. You need the gears. You need the car. You need the tires at the right pressure. You need. It's a whole system. Take one thing out of the system, the car stops working. So it is in the spirit. That's why you see them trying to do things and it's not working. Or the devil makes it work. To establish them in their deception. It's a system. You can't cherry pick. You got to take the whole. That's why I say, I give unto you the whole counsel of God. Okay, you take this and then you don't take that. You take this and you don't take that. You take this and you don't take that. The whole thing works together. If you want to get the Bible results, you want to grow, you want to be all God wants you to be, you have to accept the whole counsel of God. Be very careful. I've got to close. When you're listening to messages, ask yourself, is he telling me the whole counsel of God? Or is he just telling me one little bit that he wants to use to exploit me? Truth. Pastors, says, I will give you pastors after my heart that will feed you with what? Knowledge and with understanding. It will give you a complete package. Say, this is how this works. Now, you may not even be able to do everything. And that's where covering comes in. You can have a pastor who will do the praying and they'll do some praying spirit and they will make up for whatever lapses that you have. But they need to tell you the truth. And then challenge you and encourage you to grow. Ha! Then that will help you. But to just deceive you and tell you, all you have to do is this. This is what doesn't matter. I don't believe in this. To do a disservice. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God tonight. You don't want to allow yourself to be deceived. Remember, you do greatly err. I'm not talking about you, but the Sadducees and people like them today. Because you know not the scriptures. Two things. The letter of the word, the written word, and then the Holy Spirit. He says, I have many things to say unto you. He said, but you are not able to bear them.
He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in the scriptures. Otherwise, we can get lost inside the scriptures. It is very easy to handle the word of God deceitfully. It's very easy to distort the word of God. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. That's where tongues and prayer and all of that become very important. There's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that when you're now reading the letter of the word, there will now be the light of revelation on top of the word. So you know the sense. Like I was teaching the other day. He says, they make them to understand what the reading. They read distinctly and gave them the sense. You have to, what is the Holy Spirit saying? Even though that's the letter, but what is he exactly saying? Yesterday, I was making fun of Pastor Praise. And I'm talking about, you know, Yoruba, understand Yoruba, you know. And we're saying, you know, I said, I said, what does that mean? He said, it means a lizard has a stomachache. So I was making fun of him with Tokwe. I said, Shori Piko Koye. Yes, what I said is that the lizard has stomachache, but that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's what I said, but that's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible said, but that's not what the Bible is saying. Yes, that's what the Bible said, but that's not what the Bible is saying. I need the Holy Spirit to let me know what the Bible is saying. Yes, the lizard is having, you know, his mouth is on the ground. But you don't know which lizard the tummy is spinning. He's saying that it's not everybody who looks innocent that is innocent. But you won't find the word innocent in lizard. It's an example of hidden wisdom. That's how the Bible is full of it. The Bible is full of it. And that's why you have to be, you need the Holy Spirit. You can't just read the Bible on the surface. That's why you have to come to church. That's why you have to listen to anointed teaching and preaching. Anointed teaching and preaching unzips the word of God. The dark sayings. It's there, but it's hidden. You need light to be shed on it so you now know what God is actually saying. Just hearing the letter of the word is not enough. You do greatly because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Let's talk to God. Ask God. Say, God, help me to be more honest as I read the scriptures. Help me not just to read the scripture, the letter of the scripture, but let me read the scripture in the light of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and open my eyes. That's why you need to pray in tongues. There's another that's just come to me by the Spirit of God. He's in Acts chapter 6. He's talking about the pastors and the apostles. He said, it is not right for us to wait on tables. He said, that's why they appointed deacons. He said that we might give ourselves continually unto, watch the order. Prayer and the ministry is not the word and prayer. It's prayer and the word. I've learned that. I'm still learning it all these years. I've been a pastor now for 40 years by the grace and the glory of God. By the mercy and the grace of God. I can tell you, even today, look at this message I'm preaching now. Early this morning, I had gotten up, prayed about my wife, children, and all that. Then started praying for the service today. I had to pray. Then my wife and I had to go somewhere to go and visit some people Then when we left, I came back. I went up to my office and I still prayed. Prayer and the ministry of the word. Because if you just, I know these scriptures I'm preaching from. I know them. I know mentally. I know them. I've read them over and over and over again. But the way I preach it tonight, I've not preached it like that before. Because I didn't preach just the letter. I preached the word and the spirit. That's how it should be. That's why you need to pray before you read your Bible. Prayer and the ministry of the word. Not the ministry of the word and prayer. It is prayer and the ministry of the word. So when you're now reading the word, you're now reading the word in the light of the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will not err. Let's talk to God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Please move amongst us.
Move among us with holy fire.
As we lay aside
all earthly desires.
Hands reach out. Glory to God.
The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not like demons. Demons take over your mind without your permission. The Holy Spirit will not take an extra inch unless you let Him. You have to permit Him. He doesn't force His way. He's not that kind of person. That's why everything, you have to ask Him. If you don't ask Him, He'll just stay where He is. There's a prayer we pray every day, or supposed to. If you're obedient, you should be praying this prayer every day. Give us a fresh and increasing. The very important adjectives. Afresh, then increasingly, the Spirit of wisdom. In other words, the Holy Spirit, He wants to give you every day fresh. And then there'll be an increase. More light than you had yesterday. So when I say Holy Spirit, I welcome you. He's already in me. He's already here. But I'm asking Him to take me to another realm. To give me fresh revelation. To give me increased revelation. Brighter light. It is in that light I want you to pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins. We're so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come tonight, reminding me of the vital importance of embracing the whole counsel of God under the anointing, the leading, and the leadership of God the Holy Spirit, so that I will receive fresh and increasing revelation from your word, so that I will grow daily in grace, in mercy, and in the knowledge of you, that I will have more knowledge, brighter knowledge, clearer knowledge today than I had yesterday, tomorrow than I have today. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Oh Lord, open my eyes that I may behold new, fresh, and wondrous things out of thy law. Oh my God, I ask you to come afresh into my mind. Give me fresh revelation. Give me increasing revelation. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to know you better. Like Paul said, that I may know him. That I may know him. The power of your resurrection. Being made conformable unto your death. That I might by some means attain unto the resurrection of the dead, even while in the body. Oh God. Oh God. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Take me. Take me. Take me deeper. 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 Deeper into God. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Likatolomo shalakar do friend of Jesus. Mercy, Lord, as we pray. Likatolomo shalangar tolomo to fish. Lambraka tolomo shalik. Zifridigo. Tolomo kokokoma tolomo to fish. Zifridigo tolomo tolo. Lambraka kokoma shala. Lombroka clamatolum tolum tufri dufri dufri shingara. Lombroka clamatolum tufri dufri shingara. Lombroka clamatolum tufri dufri shingas. Tufri dufri shing. Lombroka clamatolum tufri dufri shingar dufri shing. Lombro hush tufri. Lombroka tolum tufri dufri dufri shing. Lombroka clamatolum tufri dufri shingar dufri dufri shing. Lombro dufri. Nufri di clamatolum. Tolum ashala kaka clamatolum. Tufri dis. Tolomangar, Tolomatolom, Tufri Dufri, Tolomatufridish, Lombroka Clamatolomato, Tolomatufri Dufri Shingar, Tolomatufri, Tolomatufri, Tolomangar, Tolomatufri Dufri, Tolomangar Dufri, Nor Jelik, Tufriingas, Tufridilis, Tufriingar Dufrisk. In Jesus' name.